And now, the rest of the story. If television, as a forum for talent, chews up the talented and spits them out, that is the nature of the medium. Even a quarter century ago, gifted performing artists were falling from the screen and by the wayside because they could not compete with the heavyweights, Burl and Caesar and Skelton. You can't even remember last season's failures. Could you possibly remember this one, whose break came in 1955? The limit of his network television exposure had been a substitution spot for an ailing star. It had been just enough exposure. The reviews were good, and soon everyone in the industry was speculating on the future of this promising new talent. Within days, he was approached by CBS executives in charge of programming. How would he like his own primetime show, they asked. Trying hard to suppress his spontaneous enthusiasm, the young performer asked what the executives had in mind. This was in 1955, remember. They said something along the lines of the George Gobel show. Well, now, at that time, Gobel was at the height of his popularity, and his format represented what the viewers wanted, fast-paced variety revolving around an amiable central personality. The young performer accepted. Within 2 months, the pilot was shot for CBS, and it looked good, and the fledgling star was signed. During those first weeks on the air, ratings did not meet expectations, however, and reviews were mixed. A Gobel imitation, everybody said. And CBS panicked and called in their star. The show wasn't flashy enough, they said, wasn't important enough, so starting now a string of gaudy chorus girls would greet the audience, would introduce the star. The star would burst through a curtain of balloons, keep it moving. There would be more and more lavish production numbers, replete with fake fog rising from the sets. In other words, if a Gobel imitation was not working, perhaps a Gleason imitation would. Humbly, the young performer deferred to the network's judgment, and in 39 weeks, the show was canceled. Another bright new talent had bitten the dust and dropped into obscurity. In 1955, a fledgling talent had one shot at prime time. If he couldn't cut the mustard, that was it. That was the end. Word spread throughout the television industry like wildfire. He was the one nobody wanted. He was a risky commodity. His agency, William Morris, did not put up a fight. Instead, they put him on the back burners, appeased him with vague promises of soap opera roles and such. Next season, perhaps, they said, or maybe the season after that. But the not-so-subtle message was received. As far as television was concerned, he was out. He was through. He was finished. He was washed up. Forever after, it would be second-rate nightclubs or nothing at all. Somewhere among the dusty archives which house the history of television, there is a forgotten file drawer of stillborn dreams. The primetime program of which you have just learned is somewhere in that drawer. And the rejected suitor for the affections of the nation, the performer who fizzled so dismally in 1956, the talent you tuned out 31 years ago, returned to turn you on as have a few in entertainment history. Johnny Carson. And now you know the rest of the story.